Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, we're going to get right into the word tonight, the teaching. And I want to encourage you to get your Bible out, something to take notes with. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the Christmas story to you. How cool is that? I mean, you know, that's appropriate, right? You know, we need to have good family tradition. It builds stability in a home. I know many of you, you read the Christmas story at Christmas with your family. I know we do. And so here we are, a church family and visitors with us. We're so glad you're with us. But we just include you tonight as family with us. So I want to read the Christmas story. And then I'm going to pull out of that, I'm a Bible teacher. I'm going to pull out of that a topic we call the peace of God. And then I want to establish what the peace of God is. And then right before we have our candlelight service and all the animals come in, I'm going to give you 7 ways to build the peace of God in your life so you can practice it every day of your life. Does that sound all right? Yeah. So let's get right into it. We're going to go to the board. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the Christmas story. Again, our subject tonight is the power of peace. The power of peace. Can you say that with me? The power of peace. Now, the peace I'm talking about is the peace of God. The peace of God. It's supernatural peace. And the peace of God is defined in many different ways. If you look it up in a Bible dictionary, you'll see there's many different definitions. But basically, it means that the peace of God will bring wholeness. Wholeness. How many of our lives have been broken and shattered this year? So I have the answer tonight. You know, every good sermon needs a villain, and then it needs a hero, and then it needs application. Well, the villain tonight that I'm attacking is anxiety. Anxiety. I have the answer for anxiety. We are going to capture that villain, and we're going to defeat that villain tonight with the hero, the peace of God. Amen, somebody? So the peace of God brings wholeness to broken lives. And maybe your life is broken tonight. Like Pastor Kim, my wife, said earlier, it's been a wild, crazy 2 years almost this March. And maybe you're here tonight or watching online and your life is broken and Christmas isn't very merry for you. And it hasn't been a wonderful life and you need help. You need restoration. I want you to know I'm here tonight. My assignment is to help you and to heal you and to restore you and to give you an answer on how to get out of what you're in tonight. We also have a ministry, you saw it earlier, that if you're dealing with drugs or alcohol or you're dealing with some habit that you want to break, we have a ministry that can help you with that. It's a recovery, Celebrate Recovery Ministry. It meets every Thursday night. We have people from our church and other churches that come to it. So if you're needing help, wanting help, we offer help to you every Thursday night here on this campus. But let's begin. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to all the world they should be taxed. Next verse, guys, verse 2. And this taxing was first made when Cyrus was governor of Syria, verse 3. And all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Boy, I'm ready for some good news about y'all. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Next verse. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, that's our subject matter tonight, is the peace that Christ brought to us. But if you have a Thompson chain Bible, that's a particular kind of a Bible, a Thompson chain, off to the side of this verse, it actually says the original Greek or what it really means. And it simply means this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all men who please him. Peace to all men or humankind, men and women, who please God. So in other words, if my goal in life is not to please God, I'll never experience the peace of God. If I want the peace of God, then I have to make it priority that I'm here on purpose, for a purpose, and that is to please God and fulfill his purpose for my life on this earth. The peace of God doesn't visit every human being. It's only the human being, it's only the person, the individual, that decides they're going to put God first, seek God, go after God, and please God. So the peace on earth, goodwill towards men, it's towards the men who intend to make it priority to please God with their life. Next verse, verse 15, that's powerful. Verse 15, I guess we're going to stop there. Praise the Lord. All right, time to open the presents, right? Okay, all right, so that's our subject matter tonight, is the peace of God. And number one, the gospel, the Bible, did you know it's called the gospel of peace? The gospel of peace? The Bible, the good news, the word of God, scripture, is actually called the gospel of peace. What does that mean? When we read it and apply it, it should manifest and bring peace into our life. One of the major products of the Bible is to bring peace into someone's life. That's why next year we're going to read the one-year Bible together at Church on the Rock. Amen. And you know what? We should be more peaceful at the end of the year than ever before, because this gospel will bring peace into your life. And the scripture for that, we have it here on the screen for everybody, is Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Good news being the word of God. The good news of what? What does it say, everybody? The good news of peace. So the gospel that I preach every Sunday morning here at Church on the Rock is called the gospel of peace. The news that God of Israel, he reigns. Next verse, guys. All right, Ephesians 6:15, New Living Translation. For shoes, put on the, what does it say? Put on the peace that comes from the, where does peace come from? The Word of God. When I read it and I apply it, it will bring peace into my life. And many of you can relate with me when I tell you there have been times in my life when, oh, I tell you, fear came in, worry came in, panic came in, and all of a sudden I began to think and meditate on a scripture, a promise from God, and all of a sudden the panic left, and the fear and the anxiousness, it all left. What caused it to leave? The gospel, the good news, the word of God, the Bible. For shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. God does not want us to be scared. God wants us to be prepared for next year. Amen, everybody? I like it. So it's called, the Bible's called the gospel of peace. And then Jesus, he's called the Prince of Peace. Now, I'm giving you word, I'm giving you scriptures, and you know what should be coming? Faith. Faith. And then I've taught you whatever I teach on, that's the force that's released. So if I'm teaching on peace, you should walk out of here tonight with more peace in your soul, your emotions, and your spirit. Faith comes by hearing, okay? So I'm building your faith. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. On the screen, guys, Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child is born unto us, and a son is given. Do y'all see the humanity and the deity of Jesus there? A child is born, that's Jesus. A son is given, that's Christ. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. So the Bible is called the Gospel of Peace. The one that we follow and serve Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And then number three, Jesus, his message was peace. Jesus, his message was peace. Scripture for that, guys, put on the screen, please. Ephesians 2:17. He brought this good news. So when you come to church, what should you hear? Good news. When you're reading the Bible, what are you reading? Good news. And one of the things it produces in your life when you read it and apply it is the peace of God that brings healing, wholeness, restoration, fulfillment, prosperity, soundness, and all the above. He brought this good news of peace. So what was his message? Peace to the Gentiles who far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Jew and Gentile alike, his message was peace. Number four, Jesus is the source of peace. Jesus is the source of peace. The peace we're talking about is supernatural. John 14, verse 27. Notice at Church on the Rock, we've been talking about legacy, something you leave behind. Look what Jesus left behind. Y'all see it on the scripture? What's it say? It's okay, you can talk back to me. Peace I leave with you. So what did he leave? Peace. What is a legacy? Something you leave behind. So a legacy of Christ is that he left peace for his followers. Peace I leave with you, my own peace. Not natural, not limited, but unlimited. It's a peace that the world didn't give you, and the world can't take away without your permission. Amen. Pastor Kim said earlier she knew some folk that tried to take her peace away. I'm glad they go to the first church of the Frigidaire. Amen. They'll be the first ones in the rapture. The dead. Okay, you're a hard group. I hope that's 7 o'clock. You haven't had enough cider yet, right? Okay, we put a little something in the cider for you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. A legacy of Jesus is peace. As a Christ follower, it belongs to you. Not as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be anxious, troubled. It's troubling times, but we don't have to be troubled. It's troubling times, but we don't have to be troubled. Faith can't prevent trouble, but faith can protect you from trouble. What does that mean? Trouble comes to all of us, but we don't have to let it get on the inside of us. Amen, somebody. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It's troubling times. That's why I'm teaching this on Christmas Eve. This is a need for every one of us in this room, every one of you online, more of God's peace. Right? So don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to get upset, agitated, disturbed. Do not permit. So it's a peace the world didn't give us, and the world can't. It will try. It will try, but it can't take it away unless you let it. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, a coward, or unsettled. Wow, I love that, a legacy. He's the source. Jesus is the source. John 16:33. Y'all still with me? John 16:33. I've told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me, so he's the source. In me, you will have kind of, sort of, a little bit of kind of peace. You will have perfect. Oh, I like it. For the perfect storm, ever heard about that? God's got perfect peace. Pastor, I'm in the worst storm of my life. Well, God's got mega peace for you tonight. Run to him. He's the source. You find it when you find him. In me, you can have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you're going to have tribulation and trials and distress and stress and frustration and worry and anxiety, but don't let it end. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be undaunted, for I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you or conquer you. He said, I've conquered it for you. Can we give God some glory and praise right now? Oh, he's the source. He's the source. And then number five, peace is a gift. Wow. Peace is a gift to all his followers. Peace. And the scripture for that, guys, on the screen is Psalm 29, verse 11. Can we read this on three, all of us? It's Christmas Eve. We're family. Can we read it all? Here we go. One, two, three. The Lord will bless his people. You ever heard this before? Well, they're not my kind of people. Well, y'all are my kind of people. And we are God's kind of people. And being God's people, the gift that he's given to us as Christ followers is his peace. Perfect peace. Supernatural peace. Peace that will restore your life. The broken areas. The shattered areas. The dreams. The ambition. The aspiration. The relationships. The peace of God can make you whole once again. I like that. All right, so those are five things that I wanted to give you on the peace of God. And God is the God of peace. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't panic, but pray. Don't panic, but pray. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for the answers. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank you for the answers. If you do this, okay, if we do what the word says to do, if we follow the prescription and the directive of the word, if you do this, you will experience God's peace. You will experience God's peace. Pastor, how do I experience? Go to God and pray. Go to God and tell him all your problems. Go to God and tell him your hurt, your pain, all that you're carrying, and give it to him. And trust him that he's going to work it out for you. Yes. And then begin to thank him before it happens in advance. Amen. And if you do that, if you give it to God, if you take it to the Lord, then you will experience God's peace. Yes. If you believe God's working it out, you walk in peace. Amen. If you believe God's working it all together, then no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, you walk in peace. I'm saying a whole lot right there. I find out if I keep it in my hands, wow, I don't have any peace. But if I let go out of my hands and put it in his hands and trust him that he's going to work it out now because he's in control, I gave him control, then what does that do? He says, then you'll experience God's peace. It's far more wonderful than drugs and alcohol and meth and cocaine and, well, where's that at? I guess it's somewhere in there, right? It's far more wonderful than the human mind can even understand. His peace, not the world's peace, his peace will keep your thoughts. Where does worry start? With our stinking thinking. Where does worry thought with negative start? With negative thoughts. He'll keep your thoughts. The peace of God is a guard. It'll guard your mind, your thoughts, and it'll keep your heart quiet. Don't you love that? Everybody say, heart and mind is protected by the peace of God. The peace of God will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet as you rest, as you trust in him. If I'm trusting in him, if I've given him my habits, my hang-ups, my hold-ups, if I've given him my relationships, my past, my present, my future, my addictions, my brokenness, my wrong decisions, if I've given that all to him and trust him that he's going to work it out for my good, the result is we experience his peace. Amen. Give your children to him. Yes. Give your marriage to him. Give your health to him. Yes. Give 2022 to him. Yes. Come on, give your past to him. Oh, I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. But we got to hustle because the cider's getting sour out there. Okay, right? Okay. And the camels are ready to come in. How do I get peace? Okay. I want to give you 7 ways. But again, I'm giving you scripture. I hope that's okay because we're a word church. We believe in the Bible. We have a revival of the Bible at this church. We're going to stand on what does the word say, not what does the world say, or politicians, or educators, or news hosts, but what does the word say? And here's what the word says. So how do I get that peace, Pastor? Number one, a relationship with Jesus. That peace he gives us is an inward peace. An inward peace that is expressed through daily behavior, daily response. It starts with a relationship with him, not a relationship with religion. Not a relationship with Christians. We've all heard it. I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians. Didn't Gandhi say that? He sure did. Gandhi said, I would be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians. We've all been hurt by Christians and churches and preachers and people and all this, that, and the other. But we're to put our eyes on him. Amen. Not on the church or not on people, but on him. So the peace comes from a relationship with Jesus, number two. A relationship with the Word, a relationship with the Bible. That's why we're going to read through the one-year Bible next year together at Church on the Rock. Because that relationship with the Word will produce, it's the gospel of peace. It'll produce peace in our marriage, our family, our emotions. Scripture for that, guys, on the screen, Psalm 119, 165. Great peace. How many of you like to have more peace? More word gives you more peace. Great peace have they who love your law or word or Bible. Those who love the word, it will bring great peace to them, and nothing shall offend them in 2022. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what we're going to look like at the end of next year as we read through the Bible together? I mean, our own relatives won't even know us. Our neighbors won't know us. Our family won't know us. I mean, we're going to get so strong in the Lord that our response will be Christ-like. Amen. And we won't get irritated, agitated, upset at any little thing by the end of the year. Because it says, great peace have those who love the Word, have a relationship with the Word, and nothing shall offend them. Everybody gets offended about everything, puts it on social media. That's not Christ-like. Number three, stay in faith. How do I get this peace? I have to stay in faith, or another word for faith is trust. I said it earlier. I have to, once I give it to God, leave it with God, and trust God is working it out. Even when I don't see anything happening, even when in the natural nothing has changed, even when it seems like it's taken so long, if I want to have the peace of God, it comes from trusting in God. Stay in faith. See, when I lack peace and I'm living in unrest, then guess what? Faith won't work. Faith won't work when I'm panicking. Scripture for that is Romans 15, verse 13. Now, the God of hope, the God that we serve, y'all, is a God of hope. The world's trying to tell you that everything in your past is evil and that you have no future and that just put up with today. I don't agree with that. I believe that my past has been forgiven and I have a future worth living. Now the God of hope will fill you. God will fill you with all joy and look and peace. If I'm in believing, what would believing be? Another word for faith. Another word for trust. So if I'm in faith, and guess what? There's peace and joy manifesting, expressing itself every day of my life. Can I have a witness? Amen. I can't be in faith and worry and fret and be anxious and unrest at the same time. If I'm believing, then God is helping me to walk in His peace. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? So next, number four, a renewed mind. This is the prescription. This is the antidote. This is the way. This is line upon line, very quickly on Christmas Eve, but I'm giving it to you the best I can. A renewed mind. A renewed mind. What does that mean? I have to, like a computer, I got to put new information in my head. I got to put new information. What is that? God's thoughts. Well, Pastor, where do you get God's thoughts? They come from God's Word. God's Word is God's thoughts. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And His ways are much higher than our ways. So I got to change the way I think, right? I can't think like the world. I can't think like the majority and walk in peace. So a renewed mind, let's look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is somebody who's born again but ruled by their flesh. They're born again, but they don't act like they are. Don't look at anybody right now. Just look straight ahead at Pastor. But you've seen them in other churches. That how can they be a Christian and act that way? Well, they can because they have an unrenewed mind. Their spirit's saved, but their mind hasn't gotten saved yet. Amen. And their body won't get saved until the resurrection. Amen. Right? Amen. So to be carnally minded, unrenewed mind, which is a mind that's ruled by the flesh, which is a mind not being renewed in the Word. But to be spiritually minded, what does that mean? It means to be in the Bible, the one-year Bible, read it every day. It means to be in the Word, read it, apply it. To be spiritually minded will bring you life, and it will bring you peace. I gave the illustration earlier how, you know, I've woken up in the middle of the night with a panic attack. I'm sure many of you have as well. I've woken up in the middle of the night with a panic attack, and you know what? I begin to think about Scriptures. I begin to think about what does the Word say, and what does it do? There's a peace that just comes into the bedroom. Amen. Can I have a witness about your bedroom? Yes. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, all right? So that's another way. See up on the screen back there? How cool is that? Yeah. See, look at that. That's something new we've added. We're going to start doing all the time. It gives you all the outline at one time up there. Isn't that cool? You never have to say again, he talks too fast. I didn't get that point. Shazam. There it is for y'all. Be teachable. Oh, my goodness. Don't anybody get up and walk out right now because everybody's going to think that you're a rebel and you're unteachable. Be teachable and be humble. Wow. Be teachable and be humble. I'm just about done. If I want the peace of God, I'm going to have to be adaptable, adjustable. You know, I heard one of the generals, General Crystal, who's retired, I heard him being interviewed, and he was talking about, they were asking him, what is the most important trait during COVID that you need? This is secular now. This was about a year ago, and we were in COVID hot and heavy, and they were interviewing this General Crystal, the guy, you know, make your bed guy. And he said the most important trait going through COVID is being adaptable, being flexible. It's so important. Those who haven't been adaptable have gone crazy. And they've got addicted to things they never wanted to get addicted to. But the good news is God loves them. We love them. We would be there but for the grace of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Be teachable. Be humble. Scripture for that is, but the meek shall inherit the earth. And they shall delight themselves. The meek means adjustable, adaptable, flexible, teachable, open to change. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight. Lifelong learners, they'll delight themselves, look at this, in the abundance of peace. If I'll just maintain a growth mindset as everybody comes out, if I'll just maintain a growth mindset, if I'll just stay open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if I'll just let God lead me every day, change me and mold me, He's the potter, I'm the clay. Then guess what? An abundance of peace will roll into your life. Then the next point, guys, on the screen, next point, pray for leaders. Number six, pray for leaders. Here's seven ways on how we can bring that supernatural peace into our life, our emotions, our relationships, the peace of God. In a troubled world, in people where the masses are struggling to get by with their emotions, we need the peace of God. Jesus came with the message of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the source of peace. Jesus brought that peace that the world couldn't give us. So pray for leaders. Pastor, I feel like doing something different than that for our leaders. Well, the Bible says, under that, the scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then I admonish you, urge you, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be offered for on the behalf of all men. Next verse. For kings, that would be presidents, kings, rulers, all who are in positions of authority. We don't have to like what they do, but we can pray for them. We honor the office. We honor the office. For kings and all who are in position of authority, that outwardly we may pass a quiet, undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one, with all godliness and reverence and seriousness of every way. Notice that when we pray for our leaders, God's will to be done, and we pray the word over them, the result is an inward peace, calm in a crisis, and an outward peace where you don't panic. And last but not least, number seven keys, having the right relationships. Pastor Kim talked about that earlier, that when we have the wrong people in our life, what do you mean, Pastor? People who are rebellious, people who are full of strife, contention, quarrelsome. You know the Bible says to avoid them? In the book of Timothy, it says avoid people who want to quarrel all the time. It stirs up strife, contention, separation. It steals the peace of God. So we need the right people in our life who enhance the peace of God, right? Who bring in the peace of God in our life. And the scripture for this, we're not going to read it all, but it's Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. You can put it up there real quick, guys. I'm just going to briefly. Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. You know, it tells us, blessed is the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Scornful people who make fun of church, Christians, God, the Bible, our relationship with the Lord. Notice that it says, first you're walking, then you're standing, then you're sitting. You see the progress of going backwards, being with the wrong people. So number seven would be having the right relationships. And you know what? That's why at Church on the Rock, in January and February, I'm teaching on small groups and relationships and community and how important it is for us to have the right friends in order to see the future God has for you to come to pass. Amen, somebody? Everybody say, the peace of God, it protects my mind and my heart. In Jesus' name, I command worry, fear, anxiety, panic, negativity to leave my life. In Jesus' name, and I receive the peace of God.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.